Thanks for tuning in. It's Andrew Horowitz, your loyal and humble host of the Disciplined Investor Podcast. We have lots to talk to you about today because I'll tell you something, there's been lots going on this week. We're going to talk about Crocs today. Don't start screaming yet because we've had a lot of that this week over a post that I wrote on the site last Friday. We're going to be talking about eBay and why it's still a short, some emotional detachment from stocks, hopefully that I can impart to you. We're going to be answering some questions from listeners out there, talking about some site enhancements. I'm going to tell you about some great things when it comes to the iTunes platform for this podcast. I'm going to talk about Seeking Alpha. I'm going to talk about the site polls. I am going to tell you all sorts of things, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun today, because today I'm going to try to have some fun with this Crocs situation. I believe you're going to like it, so hang on for a second, because the Disciplined Investor is beginning now. These boots are made for walking, and that's just what they'll do. One of these days, these boots are going to walk all over you.
The Disciplined Investor is all about you, your money, and the markets. Sit back and get ready for this edition of the Disciplined Investor Podcast.
All right, as I mentioned to you before, thanks for coming on board. Thanks for listening. Thanks for subscribing. You know, you've pushed us up to about the top 15 spot on the iTunes network, so please, please, please keep us there. Keep us subscribed. I hope I'm making you some money. I really do. That's my job here. You see, the Disciplined Investor podcast, the book, the blog is all about you. It's all about making sure that you're taken care of financially, because I know how it is for many people out there. It's very, very difficult. It's tough to find good advice. And all I'm trying to do right here is give you some good advice. Hopefully, I'll be honest, the book's going to be coming out within about 30 days. You're going to buy the book when it comes out, The Disciplined Investor. I'm going to let you know more about that when it's available. Coming up on the show, I want to let you know that we have Fausto Puglisi next week. He is the president of Cyber Trading University. If you've ever wanted to learn how to trade, particularly day trade, this is the thing you want to listen to. Fausto is an amazing, amazing trainer when it comes to teaching you all about day trading. He's going to give us some information. He's going to give us some tips. He's going to show us how to trade and show us how he actually trains you. We're also going to have some interviews with some top bloggers we have lined up. And what I also want to let you know about, if you haven't been to the site lately, disciplinedinvestor.com, it's a blog. It's an information portal. What we have now is some polls on there. I put some polls so that you can go in and post your information about what you think is going on about various topics. Right now, we have the first poll up because I knew it was going to be kind of controversial. And it's pertaining also to this particular podcast, and it's about Crocs. So do me a favor, whether it's right now or later, go over to the site and tell me what you think about the valuation of Crocs. Also, I told you we are in the top 10 of iTunes, so that's great. Make sure you go over and rate us. And finally, Seeking Alpha. If you haven't been on that blog, it's a conglomeration of just a tremendous amount of not only bloggers, but news sources. And they've accepted us as a gold level sponsor, writer, information source. So that's great. So Crocs. You know, I got to tell you something. Investing is all about numbers, right? Simply. Investing is all about making good choices when to buy and sell, whether you buy at a low price today and sell it at a later price at a higher price, whether it's you short it now at a high price and you sell it now and then buy it back in the future at a lower price. I mean, the bottom line is to make money, right? Options, stocks, mutual funds, whatever it is. The problem we all get into is the emotional part of this, and Crocs is seemingly bringing up a lot of emotions. I mentioned this on a post recently, and it's spread like wildfire over the web between message boards and blog sites and just a whole host of areas. They were talking about this post, and all I talked about was that I felt that Crocs was a little over. Product is selling. Of course, that's good for them. The stock is shorted by many people, so we're seeing a short cover go on right now. Okay, that's great. And earnings are growing. But at the same time, there is a point that when we find an inflection point on any particular stock that we have to say, is it enough? Is it too much? And what I've also found is when you look at the PE ratios, you look at the price to sales ratios, when you look at the PEG ratios, there is a number that we're looking for. Crocs is very, very high when it comes to PE ratio current. Moving forward, it's definitely lower. But when you look at all of its competitors, it's the top PE of all of them. That's showing that it's either going to show significant growth in the future or it's overvalued. And I got to tell you something. We've seen many, many other shoes like UGG boots by Deckers and a few others that have been fads. Don't get swept away by the fact that we think this is a huge shoe revolution. Now, listen, if you're long the shares, I don't want you to lose money. That's the whole point of my discussions here. I want to make sure you're careful. And if you're long and if you're making money, put some good sell stops on your position so you don't lose if it does turn the other side. I don't want to see you losing money. What's amazing to me is that Crocs has garnered such an incredible amount of excitement around it. It's just we have sites that are called IHateCrocs.com. We have people putting out, well, you know what, without me telling you, why don't you listen in? I gathered a few different interesting audio clips I thought are kind of fun. So hang on, listen to this for a second.
My stock is called Crocs. This company is so overvalued, it's a croc. The only thing uglier than the shoes is the valuation. The P/E ratio is fatter than my Stanley. Rolls out of bed in the morning, looks like a watermelon in a slingshot in his underpants. Woo! The inside is a dumping shares like my colon after a Metamucil martini. Stay away from the Crocs Incorporated.
Crocs.
All right, first of all, Crocs is coming out of its seasonally weakest quarter, which is the winter. That is a sign typically of weakness by them. I think they're going to surprise and show you that they now are a global company that does not have to rely strictly on the summer. They also are very heavily represented in colleges. You're going into the seasonally strongest season on Crocs. The shorts have not covered this name. I feel like that, you know, ultimately a Dendrion or an Amazon has worked really, really well. I'm putting Crocs in the potential of the Dendrion Amazon camp of sustainability and earnings.
This is Fox Business Now. I'm Cheryl Cassone. It was a stock that was in the 20s. Now, it is in the 80s. I'm talking about Crocs.
They are extremely popular, especially with young girls. Flip-flop and Croc brand sandals. But they've gotten the boot at the Thompson Elementary School in North Andover. The principal here sent a note to parents saying the kids should leave their loose-fitting shoes at home.
When you come to school, have footwear that's going to be safe when the children are running.
How strange has the world gotten when the hottest IPO of the year is for a shoe that looks like the bastard love child of a gumboot and a thong? That's Australian footwear thong, not the sexy underwear thong. Crocs is one more reason I don't own any stocks, because I'd be even poorer than I am now if I tried to pick a winner. There's no way I would have picked a rubber shoe.
Oh, these fashionable shoes.
Trouble with your professional looking footwear, Nancy? You should try these.
Oh, what are those, rubber clogs?
No, they're dorks.
Wow, but they're so ugly.
That's how you know that they're comfortable. Open your eyes, Nancy. Dorks aren't just for the garden anymore.
He's right, Nancy. Here, Jim, I'm going to need this proofed. I'm heading out.
Hello, this is Brian Shannon from Alpha Trends Blogspot. Today is Thursday, November 2nd, 2006. And on Wall Street today, we're looking at shares of Crocs Incorporated, symbol C-R-O-X. You've seen these shoes. You've probably hated them as much as most people, myself included, do. I don't think they look comfortable. I wouldn't get caught dead in these things. I'd be interested to see what the Rad Report guys have to say about this.
All right, so here's my biggest concern. First of all, we realize there's a ton of information out there. We have information that I just gathered for you from thestreet.com, from YouTube, from stock pitches. And what we're finding is this fanatical sort of cult-like following that they have is amazing. It's quite a phenomena. But at the same time, when you look at a situation where I wrote a post that talks about Crocs, the emperor's new shoes, and we get people writing me saying that, you know, you're crazy, you're an idiot, you know, what is wrong with you, and you don't know what you're talking about, you're a liar. I mean, those kind of things are questionable when it comes to a stock. It becomes an emotional mess, an upheaval of sorts. And I've got to tell you something, I've seen it time and time again. I'm not suggesting that Crocs is a bad company. I've said that 100 times. As a matter of fact, I think their earnings are excellent. I do question things like the insider selling that's been going on, millions and millions of dollars from the latest filing in the end of May, where Ray Krogan sold over $9 million worth, Ron Snyder, $69 million, WB Investors, $41 million on 521. We see also a whole bunch of the more of the Krogan family selling $500,000, charitable trust, $7 million. You know, this is all in May. We see tremendous amount of sale. WB Investors, again, another $13 million. And when you look at this, you kind of question, why are they selling? Well, they're selling because the stock has gone up so nicely. Now, stocks don't just go up forever. That's the fact. We have to ask ourselves, is it a fad or not? Now, again, I do not want to talk about, let's try to put the emotions aside. Emotions aside, is this a stock that has legs? More, you know, more than just the shoes, of course. Is this a stock that we could say, you know what, this is going to be a long-term benefit? Look at, again, back to Uggs. I question whether or not Uggs is still the phenomenon that it was, because it was for some time. Deckers Shoes has still been on a rise for some time. All the shoe companies have, and retail generally has been pretty good recently, you know, in certain select areas. But when you look at the income statement, when you look at the P.E. ratios, first of all, they are clearly, again, the highest in their sector. The P.E. ratio for Crocs is as high as anyone or higher that's in there right now. If you look to say that they're going to continue on a 200% tear on earnings, fine. Still, when you look at their P.E. ratio, it's still towards the top end, even with the fact of increasing the earnings moving forward. So do me a favor. I don't want to belabor the point about Crocs. I think it's kind of interesting. I think it's something that we can look at either doing this, either shorting, if you can get your hands on a short to hedge your position if you own it. I would look to maybe buy a put, maybe slightly outside of the money, long term, maybe the September 95, maybe the 90, because this way you can make sure that even if the stock does go down, you're protected and it doesn't cost very, very much. If you're looking to short again, there are not many shares available, if any, because there are so many people that have shorted this, which is one of the reasons it's causing this dramatic run-up. When you find a stock that is heavily, heavily shorted to a point that you can't even get your hands on any shares, there will be a short cover. Now, when you look at that, I put this in the show notes on the site. When you look at the short, the historical shorts, what you'll find is that they've been dropping month by month by month. There's about 8 million shares that are short right now. We're looking about a 3 days to cover, which means that it'll take about 3 days in total with the current trading that's happening, with the current volume that we see on the markets right now, to actually cover all the shorts that are out there. It was a lot higher. It was as high as at 11 or 12 days back about a year ago, which means that the shorts are starting to come in. They're starting to buy in and close out their positions. Obviously, they're doing so in a rush right now because the stock has moved up so dramatically. But don't be fooled by a short cover for a stock that's going to go up to $200, $300 per share. I want you to be disciplined. I want you to think about doing all this without emotion. That is what you need to do as a disciplined investor. That is chapter one of the book, The Disciplined Investor. Do not be emotional. That is the greatest downfall when it comes to investing, is the emotions. Emotions need to be extracted from the equation. As a matter of fact, I'll go so far as to say there is no part of an investment discipline anywhere that considers emotions. It will make you do things for the wrong reasons.
The Disciplined Investor Podcast is sponsored in part by Horowitz & Company, a registered investment advisor and money manager.
All right, let's switch over to something that I want to talk to you about. You know, way back about a month ago, we were talking about the CNBC Market Challenge, the portfolio competition that allowed investors to play with $1 million of pretend money and invest over a 10-week period. And what happened there was that individuals would buy stocks, sell stocks, clearly utilize whatever beneficial information that was out there. The winners seemed to have a knack for picking the after-hours winners when it came to earnings numbers. And what was interesting about that was this. It has been recently found that there was some cheating going on. Yes, cheating. How'd they do it? What happened was there was a big brouhaha from many of the challenge competitors that found that there was certain individuals that were almost 100% right when it came to after-hours earnings announcements. In other words, they would buy a stock before the market closed that was coming out with an announcement, and then they would see the stock run up dramatically after hours. Now, how would they do that? Were they just really good? Did they have multiple portfolios? I mean, what did they do? Here there was found to be a flaw. If you were to open up a browser window prior to the end of the market day, let's say at about 3:50, and you were to put in all of the stocks that you wanted to buy for the end of the day and then submit it, but then come up with an edit, click edit, and keep that open until after the market closed, maybe 4:15, and then resubmit it once you saw the information on the earnings, the computer system was fooled. They were fooled by that keeping your browser open. They thought that the trade was actually done before the market closed, which then qualified. Now what's happening, there's a huge disqualification happening, and here's what I think. This is not out of jealousy. This is not out of emotion. This is not out of anything more than this. I think the entire competition should be scrapped. If you have any question about cheating going on and question about anybody that had winners by choosing stocks, I mean, you cannot go and find just the people that were possibly twisting the system. There could be a lot of other people in there that maybe weren't so evident, not just the people that had all the right numbers. Therefore, it makes an unlevel playing field. It makes the whole process rather disgusting, I'll be honest with you. But aside from that, it doesn't allow for a fair competition. CNBC, if anybody's listening, you need to disqualify the whole process. You need to come out with a public apology for your lack of oversight on this, your inability to really trade like you should, and your outrageous and continual self-promotion on this for the purpose, obviously, of getting names and addresses for use in your database. And I think that CNBC, you need to think about why this happened, how this happened, and again, come out with some kind of an announcement that clarifies for all of us that participated, spent our time, and supported you on this. You know, one of the things that happened in a follow-up from this is Cramer's company, TheStreet.com, which came out with a challenge that was going to begin, I believe, next week, and they canceled it because they felt that in the wake of all of this, you know, all this negative publicity that we saw because of the CNBC market challenge, that they should cancel it. And I think they were right for doing that. So, all right, let me hit upon the final topic before we get into a question from one of our listeners, and that is eBay. On the blog, I wrote about eBay as a short potential. If you recall, I talked about the fact that I had some bad experiences with eBay personally that led me to look into the stock a little bit further. One of the things that happened was I found that there was some international scamming going on from various places around the world, and they would try to pretty much just rip you off and utilize fake PayPal accounts, fake eBay accounts, etc. When I did my original analysis that dated back to all the way back to March of 2007, I found that there was the potential for them to have a lot of trouble because there was a lot of individual issues concerning eBay, concerning the fact that their higher-end product line that they were trying to push wasn't working as well, that, again, there was potentially this breach of trust, that the integration with Skype was not really making any money for them. There's a whole host of things that was happening. Well, if you look at the stock chart, and I actually posted a follow-up on the blog on this, you look at why did I do this? Again, the discipline here was that the overall sentiment of the stock would be changing. The stock was seeing a relatively nice run-up over time. It was starting to breach its moving averages. It was starting to get a little hot on its MACD. So I used a lot of technical analysis and overlaid it with some fundamental analysis. And when you pulled up this chart and you look at it from the time that I posted this item onto all the way through about April 19th, when they came out with another information piece. And what we found was that there was this interesting news item that came out. First of all, a lot of people were really bullish on the April 19th news item that came out that showed their earnings were doing well. But we had a precipitous fall right after that. When we saw that they really weren't making money in a lot of areas, it went from about $35 and currently trading about $30, which is about $3 under where I originally put the short in on that stock. So here's the lesson to be learned about that. When you have an idea and you do the research and it comes up with a beneficial position, whether it's short or long, stick to your guns if it makes sense. If it in fact looks to you like it is something that is worthwhile because of all the analysis and research you did, don't be swayed by popular opinion. Popular opinion is usually wrong. And what we saw was the stock go up, and clearly we were out of the money about $3, $3.50, but it came back all the way and did a total U-turn on the earnings. So when we look at this eBay as an example of making sure to utilize a discipline, which again was fundamental, and then we overlaid and we utilized technical analysis, which is charting with it, and that's two chapters in the book, frankly, that show you how to do this, I think you'll be really doing well for yourself. But again, make sure that you're not swayed by the emotions of the process. All right, so when we come back in 1 second, I'm going to share a couple of listener questions. If you do have any questions, of course, that you want answered, just write Ask Andrew at thedisciplinedinvestor.com, or you can go to the website into the mailbox and put your question in there. So hold on 1 second. We'll be right back to wrap it up with some questions on the Disciplined Investor podcast.
Did you know that you can receive regular updates on finance, stocks, funds, and other investment ideas? Just go to thedisciplinedinvestor.com/blog and subscribe.
Okay, break's over. Let's rejoin our regularly scheduled podcast.
All right, we're back, and as I promised you, on the Disciplined Investor podcast, we answer questions from our listeners. If you have a question, please write to askandrew@thedisciplinedinvestor.com, and I'll be happy to answer anything I can. So we have a question from Kevin, and Kevin, I actually don't know where he's from, but I think he's from California, actually. He writes to me, Andrew, just started listening to your podcast, and I listened to the RIDEX interview and learned a lot about how to manage my own retirement account. I've also been looking at some places, and I want to mention some of the names of the places I've been looking to look at technical analysis. Can you give me some feedback about technical analysis and candlestick interpretation, or any books or articles you can refer to me, etc.? I'd like to look at investing in my own portfolio for the future. Okay, here's my point on this. I think that when you look at the overall markets, when you look at your portfolio, when you look at investing for yourself, you can't just look at technical analysis. You have to look at a variety of things: quantitative analysis, technical analysis, fundamental analysis. You have to look at behavioral finance, diversification through maybe mean variance optimization, or maybe a more simpler way of looking at that. But honestly, here's the point. You need to make sure that you know all the disciplines, because while charting looks really fun, it looks interesting, it can be beneficial, I don't think charting is the only way to look at investments. I think that when you look at the markets, when you look at investments, when you look at your portfolio, it is so important to diversify. And the only way you can do that is by looking at not only the fundamental analysis, but also a couple other areas. For example, I think one of the things that you can look for example, is the books by William O'Neill. He is the principal and the originator and the publisher of Investor's Business Daily. While you're at it, pick up that book. Because I think, Kevin, when you are looking at the overall process, you need to know where to start. You can't just pick a stock out of the blue. This will help you refine that. When you talk about quantitative investing, I think that you look at the Money Central website. It's free. It has some great tools to find quantitative investing, make it easy, in fact, by utilizing screens. I also think that you can learn how to trade. There's a gentleman that I know very well who will be appearing on the show next week. His name is Fausto Puglisi, and he is the president of Cyber Trading University. And he will teach you how to trade like no one else can teach you how to trade. The idea of figuring out stock investing through candlesticks, through charting, is something that takes a lot of time. And there are a lot of books out there. There is the basics of technical analysis that you can pick up. I think that you probably want to look at stockcharts.com as one of the great ways to look at charting and understand. There's a tremendous amount of information there as well for you to learn how to do this. One of the things that Kevin writes in the article he wrote me was that he is looking at a group that will teach him how to trade, and it will cost him somewhere in the neighborhood of $14,000 a year. And I question whether or not he really wants to enter into that. That seems more like a professional level. One of the ways that I think that you, Kevin, can really get benefit is by potentially doing a hybrid approach. Hire an advisor that you like that covers the areas that you think are appropriate, from quantitative investing to fundamental to charting and everything in between, utilizing mutual funds and stocks for diversification. And then learn from them and maybe try to do it in a partnership. If it's some time in the future you feel comfortable, well, maybe take it over. But maybe if it's something that you're not totally sure about, maybe leave it to them. I think that there is a lot to be learned, and it doesn't just happen overnight, so be very careful, Kevin. All right, so that answers that question. We're gonna wrap it up here with this. Take a look at the website, thedisciplinedinvestor.com, disciplinedinvestor.com. We have a tremendous amount of information on there, but more importantly, there's a variety of different polls on there, information sources, places to go, bookmark it for the future. Go over to iTunes, make sure you subscribe to this. Leave a review, please. Very, very important to me, and it means a lot to me if you leave a review on the iTunes network. So if you're listening to this on iTunes, please go over there and do that right now. I know it takes a few minutes to do, but if you can do that, that would be really great. Coming up, we have some great things in the next few podcasts, so make sure to stay tuned to it. And I want to thank you for being here, listening. And I will have the book ready for you very, very shortly. It's a matter of days now. The Disciplined Investor finally is going to be out. So we can thank the publisher for making sure that everything was accurate. And I want to thank you for listening and supporting me. And this is Andrew Horowitz saying goodbye for now and have a great week of investing. Have a great few days, a great month. I'll be back real soon to help you out with some more things. And we're going to talk about day trading in our next conference, our next call. Again, thanks a lot. The Disciplined Investor. We'll be back real soon. Have a great day.
The information presented in this podcast is not intended to be used as the sole basis of any investment decisions, nor should it be construed as advice designed to meet the investment needs of any particular investor. Some discussion contain forward-looking statements which are based on current expectations and differences can be expected. The Disciplined Investor's host, Andrew Horowitz, is a certified financial planner and registered investment advisor regulated by the SEC. None of the information presented should be construed as an offer to sell or buy any particular security. As always, use your best judgment when investing.
Hey, thanks for listening to today's podcast. We'll be here next time. Keep the emails coming in and be sure to subscribe.